Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This Chinese Grand Prix 2024 edition of the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, F1, NASCAR, and more. Sign up today using promo code RACESGPN for a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL Draft is coming up, and the old-fashioned fantasy football is giving away some autographed NFL merch to celebrate. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today. Get ready for speed.
You just wait, Sunshine. You just wait.
Get ready for the passion.
To whom it may concern, you.
Get ready for the raw emotion.
Sì, ragazzi! Grazie, grazie, grazie! Dai, forza Ferrari!
Get ready for the F1 Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Z. Welcome in to another episode of the F1 Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez. Cody, you're smiling. I think you like what you just saw.
Yeah, Rod dropped a little surprise on me there. I had no idea that was coming. If you're watching on the YouTube, if you're not, go check it out over on the NASCAR Gambling Podcast YouTube. Nice little intro video, so we don't have to awkwardly, you know, stare at the screen while the intro is playing, which is nice. And love it, Rod. That was a very great intro video. So props to you.
Thank you very much. Well, so that was the one that I tried to use a couple of weeks ago. However, I forgot, or I didn't even realize, because I wasn't listening with the sound on, that there was actual audio attached to it. So I was like, well, got to go back to the drawing board for that one. So thank God we found it. Thank God it worked. And I'm excited to use it for today. So, all right. Like we said, Cody, it is the Chinese Grand Prix. We're finally back with another race for the slate. And I got to tell you, I missed it. However, I know China has missed this race more than anybody. It's their first time back, buddy. Since 2019, they have not had a race in Shanghai for that long. How crazy is that?
Yeah, been a hot minute. Obviously, COVID, took that away, and then it's been off the schedule for ever since. So this will be the first time returning there. I'm really excited, and it's kind of a new challenge, right? I mean, we had Las Vegas last year, so again, a new challenge for the guys and something we hadn't seen before. And some of these guys obviously have been around and have seen this before, but been a long time. A lot of people are in different places. A lot of things are different in F1 now than they were back then, Rod. So I'm excited to get back there to China and have the people see the very, you know, the only Chinese driver in F1 history is going to finally get to race in front of his home country there. So that's going to be great with Zhou Guanyu, of course. I'm pumped for this one. It should be exciting.
Yeah, and just for reference point, just so you can wrap your head around this, some of the changes since 2019, Daniel Ricciardo was driving for the Renault F1 team at that point. Alfa Romeo was still a thing.
He won in 2018 in a Red Bull, so the things have changed quickly from those two seasons.
Most certainly have. Kimi.
NASCAR driver Kimi Raikkonen.
Yes, Kimi Raikkonen
was racing in that race.
Yep, he rode for Alfa Romeo on that one. Romain Grosjean actually was in Rich Energy Haas back in the day, and then we had Antonio Giovinazzi in Alfa Romeo as well. Robert Kubica in ROGTIT Williams Racing. Yeah, I'm telling you, things have changed. There was a bunch of teams that are renamed now, right? Because there is no longer any of these ones that I read off.
Most of them. Yeah. Mercedes, Red Bull, and Ferrari are the same.
Well, of course. But even Red Bull was Aston Martin Red Bull Racing at that point, which Max Verstappen was running the 33 car in that race and finished in fourth.
Technically, he still is the 33, but he chooses to use the optional one every year, and he just gets to keep it because he keeps winning it all.
I mean, wouldn't you at this point? So...
I guess why not?
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Speaking of ain't broke, the NFL draft is not broke. And our buddies over at Old Fashioned Football, look, I know you listen to our show. Yes, there you go, my friend. Love that shirt. If you're not watching on YouTube, go, because you can buy those shirts. Those shirts are available on the merch store as well. But Old Fashioned Football, Justin Miranda, two really dear friends of ours, have that unique angle of bringing you not just fantasy football breakdown. And they started out with auction, but now they're just sort of all-encompassing. And they talk about whiskey, which is exactly what you want to do. They are giving away some autographed merch to celebrate the NFL draft being just around the corner. You want JSN? You want Travis Etienne? You want J.K. Dobbins? You want Frank Gore? Well, you can't have Frank Gore. I'm winning Frank Gore. My entry's already in there. So for all the other ones, you can still compete. Old-fashioned football, come for the football, stay for the whiskey. It's going, gone. Make sure you head over now to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest to enter, because you want those sweet jerseys.
Yeah, and check their show out, too. It's a great show. I'm going to be on there Thursday night. I believe we'll be live over on their YouTube around 7 o'clock Central Time. So join for that, because it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be talking about the NFL draft. Obviously, is next week, so they've kind of made this draft month over there and kind of breaking down the draft. And look, the draft has massive implications on fantasy football. So better to get ahead of things now. And you know, a lot of people have their rookie drafts coming up and whatnot for dynasty leagues. So. Get all the info now, Rod. It's a good, great show. I love them, and should be a good time on Thursday.
I agree. All right. Well, then, let's start talking about this Chinese Grand Prix. Like we said, it's the first one held since 2019, so a good 5 years of not having a race on this circuit. So we never did get to tell you exactly what we think it looked like, because guess what? It hasn't been on the schedule for the last couple of seasons. So, Cody, don't know how much of a Harry Potter guy you are, but this looks like the Sorting Cap.
I'm a little light on the Harry Potter. I haven't watched as much as I probably kind of hoped I had gotten into it, but I do know the cap you're talking about, and it does look like that. So we'll roll with that, because I was struggling to come up with something, Rod.
Now, no, this cap will tell you exactly what team you drive for, right? So if you put it on, it'll tell you are a Haas, or it'll put you are a Red Bull, right? That's what it's going to tell you.
That's what you hope it says.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A lot like Gryffindor. Everybody wants a Gryffindor, but all of a sudden you get, you are Kick Sauber. Oh, man.
Ah, damn it. Oh. You're ready for 85-minute pit stops.
If you want to know what team you drive for, put this circuit on your head. There are, 16 corners overall on this track, two DRS zones, one really quick one, and one that's not even a straight zone. It's literally the turn between 11 and 12 is a DRS zone, and then the straight between 15 and 16 is another DRS zone, a second DRS zone. They will be flying around this track, especially between 16 and turn one. It is a 5.451 kilometer race, which is just over 3 miles, 305 kilometers, another 190 mile race. The lap record on this one, they'll be running 56 laps around this track. I forgot to say 1 minute, 32 seconds and 2:38 on the back end of the other decimal. Michael Schumacher back in 2004 during the first Grand Prix race on this Shanghai circuit. Woo, man, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch because, Cody, this will be yours and mine first time as F1 handicappers.
Yeah, exactly. And even, to be honest, first time watching a Chinese Grand Prix because I wasn't watching back in 2019 when they came here before. So excited, Rod. It is a sprint weekend as well. This will be the first sprint weekend of the season. So what that means, only one free practice, right? So that will be Friday a.m. Then Friday p.m., they'll have the sprint shootout qualifying. It's, you know, Q1, Q2, Q3, just like the other ones. Shorter sessions, of course, 12, 10, and 8 minutes. Format works the same way as normal qualifying. Slowest drivers are eliminated. That qualifying session sets the sprint race up. It's 100 kilometers, Rod, takes about 30 minutes. So just a sprint race, literally the definition of the name, right? No mandatory pit stops, which encourages nonstop racing. Points are awarded. Note, this is a very important note if you're going to bet on this race, Rod. A points finisher in the sprint race is only the top 8, not the top 10. I know there's been confusion on that in the past where somebody placed it. They thought, oh, that guy finished 10th. He's in the points. That's not the case in the sprint. So make sure you're paying attention. And just in general, make sure when you go to place these bets, you're paying attention to which section of the book you're in. Because there was one bet I found, and I'm like, holy shit, really? And then I realized, ah, oh, fuck, I'm in the sprint section. Not the bet that I want. I want the one for the race. So make sure you're paying attention to that as you place your bets. And again, if you're betting on someone to be a points finisher in the sprint race, again, keep in mind that it is only the top 8. And then after that, Rod, they'll qualify for the Grand Prix. So the sprint has no effect on where you start in the race, anything. Maybe the only thing it will affect is if, was it Alpine that doesn't have any cars left?
Yeah, they're running low.
If they wreck any more cars, then maybe they won't be in the Grand Prix. But then you'll have your typical Grand Prix qualifying. And then, of course, the Grand Prix Sunday evening in China, very early in the morning here in the United States. Rod, this is going to be a DVR and wake up and watch it in the morning race.
I mean, listen, you don't want to stay up until, so for me, it's midnight. So for
midnight,
you,
I did that last time. The last race in Japan was midnight my time. And I stayed up. I made it all the way till 2 a.m. when it finished. But this one starts at 2 a.m. my time in the central time zone here. So I don't think I will make it for this one. F1 Bet Tipster checking in, saying evening, guys. Evening, F1 Hi. Bet Tipster. Appreciate you joining us. So, yeah, that's the quick breakdown of the sprint weekend and kind of how this weekend will roll.
Yeah, and again, Alpine, you don't want to wreck a car in this one because you're running out of quarters to put in the vending machine to keep pulling out chassis, I tell you right now. Yes. It's insane. When the only working chassis you have, it's almost like when you're borrowing something with somebody and it's the only one and somebody breaks it and you're like, oh, come on. And then you fix it and then you break it and they're like, oh, come on. Like, yeah, there's
we have no more of these. You can't break this. You
cannot
one.
Keep breaking this one. This is like Tin Cup. This is your last ball. If you put this one in the drink, we are not finishing this card. So that's kind of how they're like, you break this last chassis, we are not finishing the season. So knock it off. They got to drive with kid gloves on.
Yes. Two quick pieces of note of news as well before we get into the bets, Rod. Fernando Alonso re-signed his deal with Aston Martin. That'll go through 2026. He's 42 years old, of course. So he's going to keep rolling, right? Going to continue to be on the grid, continue to be with Aston Martin there. So you think that obviously kind of locks in their lineup for the next couple of seasons. I don't think Lance Stroll will be going anywhere. And the schedule came out for 2025 as well. So it'll be 24 rounds again, much like it was last year. But shaking it up a little bit, Australia is going to be the first race of the season, the March 14th through 16th weekend. Then they'll go to China and Japan. Then Bahrain, which has been the early one. And then, you know, the schedule kind of goes on from there. Season will still end in Abu Dhabi, and this will actually push it into December, Rod, the 5th or 7th of December. So carry that racing a little bit longer for us and get us closer to the Daytona. I guess it's going into December this year too. So same weekend with the 6th or 8th this season in Abu Dhabi. But yeah, some minor changes there. But otherwise, I don't think there was anything crazy else with the schedule.
Nope. And I'm glad too, for one. I would love to have as much into December as humanly possible, so that way January goes by quickly and February right up to the Daytona 500. So kudos to those guys. I will say, though, on the Aston Martin trip, Fernando Alonso's proven that even at 42, which, by the way, I mean, as a guy on the back half of his 40s now, I know that sitting in a car that long makes me already want to punch every kid around me that's younger than that. But I can only imagine when you're on the track going, you know, a couple hundred kilometers an hour and you just want to punch everything in sight. Good for him, though, and good for Aston Martin. I think it's still a good fit. I honestly believe that he has looked much younger in this Aston Martin and has been driving like the Fernando Alonso that I think a lot of people expected him to drive like. So good for him. I mean, can't really fault him for wanting to stick around in a place that's comforting and warm and nice to him. So good on him. All right. Like you said, Cody, we will set up the bets for this race when we come back. But I want to tell you first a little bit about Underdog Fantasy. You know why I love Underdog Fantasy so much? And it's not because they're paying me to tell you that I love Underdog Fantasy so much. No, sir. I love it because it is so simple and so self-explanatory that I probably don't even need to tell you how to do it. However, I will. For racing, it's as simple as picking higher than or lower than, better than or worse than, for us especially, cleaning up that language, better than or worse than the projected finishing position of the drivers that they are listed there for F1 or NASCAR or any other racing thing that they've got available to you. And all you got to do is pick up to 5 of these drivers and their better than or worse than finishing positions, and then watch that multiplier stack up. Now, racing does not have the spicy chilies yet, but other sports out there do. There's some basketball, there's some baseball, there's some flying disc stuff. I don't know. Whatever you can find on Underdog, as long as they got that little spicy chili pepper next to their name, look for that, and you could actually increase that multiplier up to 100x on your entry. I can't even explain it. It's that much simple. It's that simple, folks. You got to get down. You got to do it. We did pretty good on our Underdog picks for the NASCAR weekend. So maybe we can, I don't know, maybe we'll incorporate some Underdog plays into F1 at some point on this show if we can get them out early enough, and maybe we can give it to you. Or we just give you some bonus plays on the YouTube channel. I don't know. We'll figure something out, but you got to play Underdog. That's the whole point of this entire ad read. And not only do you have to play Underdog, but you've got to sign up now with our promo code RACESGPN, because you're going to get a 100% deposit match up to $100 when you do. Free money. Sign up today with our promo code RACESGPN. Get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special, so a free pick'em special on top of that. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com. Find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with our promo code RACESGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as that Insta Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Make sure you're over in the Discord too, Rod, sg.pn/discord. I know we're usually talking about that as the Grand Prix weekend approaches, as far as getting some Underdog plays out, and they do qualifying. You know, so usually I think Wednesday or Thursday they'll release qualifying stuff up for a little while. So if you've got to lean in the qualifying, that's there. And then also, you know, they'll have race finishing positions as well. So it's a lot of fun. And yeah, make sure you get in on it. Maybe we can do some more shorts type stuff or something like that, giving out some picks. So stay tuned, but definitely get in the Discord because you can get our thoughts over there for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably a good idea. We should probably do more of those. I know the kids like those nowadays because, you know, just like me, our attention span is no longer there.
I was doing something the other day on my phone, and my daughter goes, "You guys do shorts?" Because we've got a couple of just clips that we cut into shorts. And I was like, "Yeah, we have." She goes, "Whoa." So like if I'm impressing the 11-year-old or 10-year-old daughter, then I guess we're doing something right, Rod.
Hey, just the simple fact that we're on this show in and of itself. Oh, yeah, like, yeah. My daughter, when she goes to school, they're like, "Well, what does your dad do?" And they're like, "Oh, my dad's this." It's like, "Oh, yeah,
he's
well,
a YouTube star."
I was going to say, "Oh, yeah, well, guess what?" Yeah, well, all the other kids are like, "Well, my dad does whatever." And my daughters always go, "Oh, yeah, well, this is my dad." And they show the show. They're like, "Ooh, yes." Ooh.
It is a great feeling because my daughter, a few times friends are over and she's like, "Look what my dad was doing in there." I'm like, "Ah, yes, I'm cool."
Look at this was what my dad was doing when he should have been paying attention to me. Ah, ha, ha.
Yeah, whatever.
Just kidding. No, that's how it.
details. Don't worry about
details.
Like that,
whatever, kid. Get it. Just go show your friends what I do. All right. Speaking of what we do is win people money. Hopefully, right? But we will try to do that for you in Shanghai. I will tell you right now, Cody, that there's very little in the realm of like hardcore handicapping to do because like you had said and we pointed out in the intro, there's so many different teams now. There's so many drivers on different teams. Only six drivers right now are not even on the card that we're on in 2019. So it's so much difference. I'm looking more at what happened in this last year, to be honest with you, and how that's factoring into this, my handicapping for this.
Yeah, I took absolutely nothing into account from previous Chinese Grand Prix just because, and actually I'm one of the bets I'm going to give out, I'm going to argue against what's happened in previous GPs just because it's completely different. I mean, the entire grid is different. You know, that was in Mercedes and Lewis was winning a lot and you had teams like Renault winning races with, you know, stuff like that. Things were just different then. I think we definitely have to look more, you know, and even in NASCAR, like, you can only look back so far because so many things have changed and a lot of stuff. And every once in a while, there's something. But when I haven't been here this long, and there's one I'm going to toss in where the guy's got a lot of starts here. So you could take that for what it's worth. But other than that, I think you got to look more at, you know, what have you done for me lately? How are things going? We kind of understand the pecking order of things right now, this, you know, how things are this season, Rod. And I'll be honest with you, I got a lot of bets this week because I kept finding things I liked. Some weeks it's a little bit of a struggle and it's like, you're trying to find stuff, but I found some stuff. I think the books are being a little disrespectful this week because there is some uncertainty, and I know exactly where I'm going, so I have no problem with that, Rod. That being said, you ready to get into the bets?
I am, if you are. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right, we're going to start off practice one, jumping right into it. Max Verstappen on Bet365, -125 to win practice one. Rod, look, there's only one practice this week. It's FP1. This is it. Max is not going to fuck around. This isn't a track they've been to in a while, right? So get in here. He's going to be down to business right away. He wants to get out there. We're only two races removed from him not finishing the race with a problem. So it's not like he's on 11, 12 victories and he's just on cruise control. Like, he's sort of pissed off again and wants to prove to everybody. He's going to come out guns a-blazing. I think -125 is a little bit of a disrespectful line for him. I wrote in my notes, Rod, no effing around. I just wanted to make sure that I said that specifically. But two of the four races so far, Japan, Saudi Arabia, he's been the fastest in P1. You know, a lot of times there's different scenarios and situations, and I think one of the races he didn't even run a lap in FP1, whatever. But this is the only FP on the entire weekend, so he's going to come out, get down to business. Max Verstappen, -125. Again, if you can find good ways to get it on Max at good prices, you got to do it. I think this is a good way. Also going to toss out a Q2 bet, Rod. Not something I do often, but I found I've been like trying to keep an eye on some different stuff and try and find different angles to get in on things, and I think I might have found something here. So, again, this will be for regular Q2 for the Grand Prix, not for the sprint, so make sure you're getting in on that. But fastest in Q2, I'm going to take Charles Leclerc 4-1. Bet 365. Now you could go Charles Leclerc or you could go Carlos Sainz. Either one I'm fine with they're both 4-1. If you want to play both, that's good too. But I'm taking specifically Charles Leclerc at 4-1. So if you go back and you look over the last couple of, we've obviously had four GPs so far this season. So you go back to Australia. Sainz was actually the fastest in Q2 there. Let's see, Bahrain, it was Charles Leclerc was fastest in Q2 there. So two of the four, you've had the Ferraris be faster. Charles Leclerc shows a lot of speed in qualifying every week. And every week, you're like, maybe he's got something. And then we get to the race, and of course, Max blows him out. But he seems to show up and really have it in qualifying. But specifically, I think Max lays up a little bit in Q2 because he comes out, he does his thing in Q1. We'll move on to the next round. Q2 is kind of like informal, right? Like, we just got to make sure we're in the top couple so we get to the next round. He's not so worried about it. Whereas I think like Charles Leclerc just goes hard because he wants to be like, look, I was faster than Max in this session, and he gets it done. So two of the four races, it hasn't been Max. You've had Ferraris specifically in both of those races. Charles Leclerc continues to be the one that seems to qualify a little better. I know Sainz has been racing better, but just kind of leaning into this and trying something a little bit different this time. So I'm going to take Charles Leclerc, fastest in Q2 specifically, 4-1. And then, of course, Max, FP1 winner, -125. Both those are over on Bet365.
The angle for your Q1 or your P1 rather, your free practice one is dead on. I mean, look, you got to know that this is one of those instances where, like you said too, it's a couple of races away from him not even finishing. So Red Bull is not going to be playing around to try to make up. You know, we'll test this out. No, they just want to come out, prove that they're dominant right off the bat, and then jump back in the garage. And the same, and I love it because I now that I was thinking through what you were talking about, Q2, you know, Max will normally just go out and run one or maybe even two laps in Q2 and call it good, because he usually goes out and sets, you know, the fastest lap right out of the jump, and then just sort of sits in the garage and waits for Q3.
Why burn your stuff up when you got to turn around and do it right again in Q3? And it's not like he needs to go out there and hit his marks and make sure he's got it. You know, and I think that a little bit of that's going to go into P1 this week, where he does need to get his marks set and stuff. But I just think he doesn't, it appears to me at least, he doesn't overly push it in Q2 specifically. We know he's going to come out Q3. He's probably going to be the fastest qualifier. We get that, right? But I think in Q2, you kind of catch that little bit of, he just lays off enough, and you've got multiple races now where other guys have been faster. I think that there's an angle to be had there. And a 4-1, again, you're getting a good price on it. So I think that's worth looking at.
I agree. All right. I'm going to actually place a sprint bet here. I found one that I kind of like. It's difficult, though, because this is not, I mean, if I were to tell you that Daniel Ricciardo would be anything good, you'd be like, not this season, Rod. And I'd agree with you. I would tell you that this has been an absolute horrible season for all of these guys that aren't in these, but the, you know, especially the Visa Cash App RB team, right? Or are we just calling them RBs? I don't know. Whatever you're calling them, it's been a
V-carbs,
rough go.
Rod,
the V carbs. That's what we're at. V crabs.
V craps. No, I think they look like V craps sometimes, but I think they're V carbs.
They're V carbs. The V carb team. But look, Daniel Ricciardo, I'm taking him as the winner, the sprint winner, without the big five. So you're talking the Mercedes, the Red Bull, the Ferrari, the Aston Martin, and the McLaren. So all I need is for Daniel Ricciardo to beat everybody that's not one of those five drivers, and you'll have him winning this. This is at +350. So again, for the weight this is kind of a longer shot, but I think it has an opportunity to cash. Daniel Ricciardo is not too far away from, or not that far removed from being a winner here, as far as his track history, okay? Now, granted, like I said, there hasn't been a race here in 5 years, but the last time he was on it, he was a seventh-place car, and then the first, the 2018, he was the first-place car. But more impressive is just his overall running ability in not just these Red Bull cars, but he was in Toro Rosso back in 2012. He had a seventh-place finish in 2013 in that Toro Rosso car, and then fourth, ninth, fourth, first, seventh. If we can get that version of Daniel Ricciardo in a sprint race, and this is why I say with a sprint race, because these sprint races are sort of, yes, granted, their championship points are being awarded, but by the same token, a lot of guys aren't trying to burn themselves up. They're not trying to go as hard as they would. Max Verstappen's still probably going to go out and wax everyone else. But, you know, behind him, maybe you don't kind of push the DRS. Maybe you don't kind of go wing the tail. And maybe you just do let Daniel Ricciardo by you because, you know, especially if you're outside of those top eight positions, maybe you just don't care. You know, maybe if you know you're not going to be eighth and you're 10th or whatever, and you're somebody that's hanging in the back there and Daniel Ricciardo's chasing after you with DRS and you're like, well, okay, maybe I'll just let him go. Does it happen very often? But in these sprint races, we've seen where it gets a little bit, I don't want to say strung out, but at the same time, it gets a little strung out because the racing's not nearly as intense as it is for an actual Grand Prix because they know that only the top eight places pay. And so if you're not there, maybe you don't fight as hard for the rest of the spots. So, and it's a short race, so anything can happen. So I'm going to just give Daniel Ricciardo a chance to do this because, again, his track history here is phenomenal. And sometimes it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. If your muscle memory kicks in and you can be better than your equipment, Daniel Ricciardo is one of those guys I feel like that could be better than his equipment. So give me Daniel Ricciardo, sprint winner without the big five at plus 350.
As a big Ricciardo fan, Rod, I hope that he can dig down deep and find that old Ricciardo. But I don't know. He's burned me enough already to start this season that I'm not loving it. But I'm gonna at the price again. You made a good point, so I'll tell you on that one. Next up, Rod, winning margin over 10 seconds, minus 163 over on Bet365. Now, this is one where I did look back at the last few Grand Prix here, and it does not support my argument, Rod. 6 second margin, an 8 second margin, a 6 second margin in the last three races here. But ... that was before the Max Verstappen that we have today. This line is underpriced because they looked back at the previous Grand Prix and they said, well, you know, this place, it's brought good racing, close finishes. It's going to happen again, Rod. Not so fast, my friends, right? You look at the safety car number. It's very low this week, so they don't necessarily think there's going to be a safety car. Max, Rod, we have had four Grand Prix this season, right? Now, he had issues, obviously, at Australia, but he was on his way to running away from the field before those happened, I think. Again, doesn't matter. We'll toss that one out. So three races where Max Verstappen is completed, and that's the handicap here, obviously, is Max Verstappen wins the race. Three races. Last race out of Japan, 12.5 seconds. Saudi Arabia, 13.6. Bahrain, 22.45. You've cleared 10 seconds by 2.5 seconds at least in all three events. Look, Rod, we've seen it. Nobody is close to Max. Nobody is close to Red Bull. I mean, if anybody's going to keep it that close, it's going to be his teammate, but even he hasn't been able to do that through the three races this has happened so far. He's been second multiple times in those, and it's been by 12 seconds, by 13 seconds, by 22 seconds. So nobody's staying close to him this season. Why is that suddenly going to change here? I mean, you know, you make the argument, well, they're coming to a track we haven't been to in a long time. But that's more of an argument for Max. He's the best driver, arguably one of the best drivers in the entire world, the best driver in F1, in the best car. Everything is going his way. He's going to get out front. He's going to set sail and never look back, Rod. I think that, again, this is a great opportunity for us as bettors to jump on the fact of there is uncertainty. They don't know what to do because the way they met things is they look back. Well, what's the trends been? Well, the trends have been that it's not been a bigger than 10-second win, but those are different trends with different times, Rod, and it's not those times anymore. Verstappen's going to come out. He's going to light the world on fire. He's going to kill everyone, win this race by 20 seconds, and you're going to easily clear 10 seconds. So minus 163, again, you only pay the juice if you lose. We've learned so much in F1. It's okay to get a little bit more on the, you know, the bigger numbers. Like, and minus 163 is not even a big number, Rod. Love the winning margin over 10 seconds this week.
So it's funny because I was listening to Full Tank with Phil's show the other day, and he was kind of talking about the same thing as far as we tend now, especially as race bettors, as bettors of NASCAR and F1, and we see these numbers like 125 and we're like, oh man, that's horrible. But then again, we think to ourselves, that's not a bad number because it's probably going to cash. So you just got to make it work for you. And so if you are very, very sure of a bet, as we are in this one, then you should lay the money and just find a way to make it work for
you. Are you telling me if Kyle Busch wins a race at plus 160 that it still cashes the same way, Rod?
I'm going to retreat into my water so that you don't get a NASCAR gambling style rant on this.
No
show.
No rants from Rod today.
Not today.
But yeah, again, like that's, you got to keep that in mind, right? Like if you go bet on a football game where baseball's going on right now and basketball's going on, like go bet the money line on a baseball game, Rod. Like you're not even getting numbers this good. So you got to get 1.5 runs and you're still paying minus money half the time. So it's, you know, we get in the mindset of things have to be a lot of plus money and stuff, but even in NASCAR, we see it to a degree for sure. But in F1 specifically, like, don't be afraid to pay up some juice, you know, max to win at minus 700. Maybe don't go that crazy. Although I can't argue against it this week, I don't think. But yeah, minus 163 is nothing. So I would take this bet. I feel really confident in this. Again, I think it's just they're unsure what to do, and this is your opportunity. I mean, this is the one race this season we have where they haven't been there. So take advantage of it. And I think that Max is going to do what Max does. And they're going to look back and be like, whoa, we mispriced that.
Well, speaking of being able to pay a little bit of juice, I'll feel comfortable taking the juice on this one, even though it hasn't happened this season. And that is Lewis Hamilton to have a top six. Tell you what, I'm not asking him to have a podium finish. I'm not asking him to have
he hasn't finished in the top six this season.
No, he has not. Thank you, Cody, for reading ahead on my notes.
You just said it. That's so that's why I was asking. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
No, he has finished.
Actually, kind of shocked by that.
Yeah, his average finish actually is 10.8 in these four races that we've had so far. Seventh place to start the season in Bahrain. Whoa. I know. Ninth place in Jeddah. 18th in Melbourne, right when that engine fried on him, and then ninth place in Suzuka last week. He has not had a top six finish all year. Mercedes is absolutely lagging behind the eight ball. And unfortunately, Russell's had a pretty bad run too, but he, in his last year with Mercedes, you would think that would mean that, you know, they're not giving him the secrets anymore, but I don't think that's how this works. I think they wanted to make sure that he still runs as good as he possibly can, because why would you tank a driver heading into next season if you're Mercedes? You still need all that information. You still need all of that. And you still have one of the best drivers in the sport to ever do it behind the wheel. There's no reason to tank him. Now he's frustrated as all get out. Maybe he doesn't want to finish good for these guys because they're making it hard for him. But he's still a proud driver, and this is a track that he has owned in the past. Granted, and it's all with Mercedes. It isn't with a different team. This is not a different team than he's been with before. Well, not all with Mercedes, but for the better part since 2013. Yeah, it has been with Mercedes. His average finish on this track, 3.8. He has 6 wins in 13 starts, 9 podiums. I'm not asking him to win this race. I don't even think he's going to win this race. But I would think and I would hope that a 6th-place finish could be in his cards. Listen, this guy has won 4 of the last 6 races that he's been on this track. A 7th place in 2016 and a 4th place in 2018 are the only 2 outliers in that equation. It has been a dismal season for Lewis Hamilton. But damn it. If I think Daniel Ricciardo can drive better than the equipment he's in, you got to think that Lewis Hamilton this week on a track where he, you know, has an edge on a lot of these guys that haven't been on this track in a few years or even ever can get better than the 14 drivers on the other end of that. I think Lewis Hamilton should get a top 6 finish. I'm hoping that at least it's a 6th-place finish. I'm not wishing for much better than that because I don't think it's going to happen. But at the very least, I think Lewis Hamilton can finish P6 in the race. Minus 125, go ahead and give me that.
You got to think they get it figured out at some point, right? And I mean, imagine even going into the season thinking you would ever get a price like this on him. So maybe it is the time to pounce before it happens. Walter checking in saying late to the party. Thanks for the Brad K top 10 last week. Of course, we gave that out on the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. That's how I feel about the winning margin over 10 seconds this week. Is very confident in that one, Walter. So make sure you jot that down if you missed it, because I think that's going to be a good bet here for F1 this week. All right, Rod. Next up, we're going to go a little hometown hero guy, right? We saw this last week, or last race with Yuki Tsunoda getting that points finish at 7-1. You got to throw a little bit on Zhou Guanyu at 7-1 to finish in the points. Over on DraftKings, Rod, look, is Zhou Guanyu in the best car out there? No, is, you know, he's probably going to need some help, right? But at 7-1, you get that extra bump, and we see it from guys, and it can go both ways. I had the take on Checo last year in Mexico, and he absolutely fucked me on everything because he had a bad race. So it can go both ways, right? But he's the first Chinese driver ever in F1. So this will be the first time a Chinese driver ever goes to the Chinese Grand Prix and races as a, like, that's a huge thing, especially in the Asian culture where there's so much pride in everything and, you know, in accomplishments like that. So I think he's going to bring his A game. I think the team is going to bring their A game as well. Go back and you look at the season. It's been full of ups and downs, right? But was 11th at Bahrain to open the season. So only one spot outside of getting into the points finish. I mean, this, he could run 18th place too. It's highly possible. But you go back to last season, if you want to look at that as well, he did have 2 points finishes last year. 10 races, though, where he was inside the top 13. So pretty good there. Again, a track we're unfamiliar with as far as we haven't raced there in 5 years. Maybe there is some attrition. Maybe there's a couple of guys get knocked out of the race early. You know, like we saw in Australia even, open up some spots up there in the points, and maybe he can get up there. It's a Sauber car, so the pit stops could be of concern. Of course, we know how those go. So it's, I'm not like dying on the hill of I love this bet, but I think it's 7-1 for the story and for thinking he'll probably be bringing his A game. The team's going to bring their A game. Again, we talk about when drivers have things circled, Rod. What do you think he's had circled since he got into F1? As soon as we go back to China, that's where he wants to show up and perform. It's going to be a fun week for him being back home, being able to be in front of his family and friends and fellow countrymen, and be the first time ever they get to see an F1, Chinese F1 driver race in China. So, yeah, you got to lean into it. You got to throw a little bit on it. 7-1, it's worth a sprinkle for Zhou Guanyu points finish.
Yeah, the narrative just writes itself. And at 7-1, that's it's not going to cost you anything, and it's going to make you happy when you actually hit it. So I like this, and I like this because when I saw this in there, that was the first one you put in the doc, I had already been leaning toward his teammate, Valtteri Bottas. Here's what's crazy, okay? Like, this is the team that we know that is probably still sitting on pit lane right now, getting tires changed in the first in Bahrain. But we're going to put both of them in the points. Why not? I'm going to say Valtteri Bottas, a points finish here at 6-1. This is a stretch.
Rod's hoping they overhaul the pit crews.
Well, like you, Cody, I'm getting a little bit, I don't want to say bored of giving out a lot of the same bets, but I know that they usually cash. But at this point, like, I'm gonna create a narrative in which Valtteri Bottas, who has finished second place on this track the last two times that he's been out here. I get Mercedes, he was in Mercedes. Yes. I know. I understand the equipment. But still, I'm asking him just to get inside of the top 10, please. That's all. A place where he hasn't necessarily been too far away from. Now, I know that in NASCAR, if I told you that the difference between 10th and 14th, I know the difference between 10th and 14th in F1 is a mile. But he's finished 14th in the last two races, but he started 13th. So, look. Somebody up there gets a little squirrely. A couple of cars take each other out. There's Zhou Guanyu and the Valtteri Bottas as they ride together, because they often do. They're kind of around each other quite a bit until they're not. But let's just say they're both together. They're both in the same strategy, and all of a sudden, I don't know who's up there. Lance Stroll may be up there, and all of a sudden he decides he wants to take out George Russell, and then that frees up 2 spots inside of the top 10. And now we're cooking, right? We got Zhou Guanyu riding the hometown hero aspect of it, and Bottas right on his tail, and they both slide up into 9th and 10th, and all of a sudden you got a points finish for Guanyu and for Bottas. So you get the plus 600 for that. You get the plus 700 for Cody's, and then if you put the two together, look at Sauber double points finish 40-1.
I feel like it should be a bigger number, but hey, you know I love my long shots, Rob.
I'm telling you, 40-1 for Sauber, double points.
Hey, craft your own narrative, you know, lean into it or whatever. Arturo checking in. Hope Joe does well. Always good to see when a home guy does something important in their country. And yeah, again, it is always fun to see. You know, you look for the Logan Sargeant angle when he comes back and races in Miami. in Florida and Checo when we go to Mexico, or all these guys when they're in their own countries, they want to do, obviously they want to show up and be the best every single race. We understand that, right? But there's that extra bit of juice. You see it in NASCAR, you know, with guys going back to their home tracks where they'll get bumps and stuff. So you'd love to see it from them. Arturo says not very likely of both scoring points.
That's why it's a 40-1.
I agree. That's why it's 40-1. Yes. But again, like if you want to find something to root for, I think rooting for Zhou Guanyu to get a points finish at 7-1 is a fun story to root for. Sometimes it's fun to bet on those types of stories. And then, hey, we know that Valtteri can do it. And if they can figure out the pit thing, he hasn't been like he's been decent in a lot of races. And then he gets stuck on pit road for so fucking long. He doesn't get good results, but he's been better than the results have said. So, yes, it's a stretch, but 40-1, little sprinkle. You know, throw a little pizza bet on it or whatever. Might not be a bad day if it does cash.
Yeah, again, it's these 40-1s, like we said, it's not without its risk, obviously, which is why they're 40-1s. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun to be able to say, oh, yeah, this is fun to cheer for. And sometimes you got to have some fun, right? That's what this is all about, so... all right, Cody.
Just utter chaos at the front, and boom, there they go. They squeak through. Who knows?
Indeed.
All right, Rod. I talked about the disrespect, and I think that it's showing big time here. Bet365 has Max Verstappen to be the fastest qualifier and win the race. That's it. Two things. Sit on the pole, which he does a lot. I think, believe he's been – has he been on every – I didn't even look, Rod, because it doesn't matter. I think he's been on every single pole this year. But I don't care because it's Max Verstappen. All he has to do is sit on the pole and then win the race, minus 138. Come on, are you kidding me? Like, again, I know we haven't been here in a while. I know we don't know what to expect, but I'm telling you what to expect, and it's Max Verstappen to dominate this entire weekend. He's going to do it. I don't – minus 138 is a ridiculous number for this. I would get in on this early in the week because I can't see this sticking around at this number for very long. It's Max Verstappen, right? I mean – again, I just read off all the finishes in the three races that he's finished, not had a mechanical issue, where he did one race, of course, but the other three races, he won every race by 12 seconds or 12 and a half seconds or more. It's not even close. Nobody's challenging him. And I don't see how he doesn't sit on the pole in this one either. So I know we haven't been here a long time, but catch him sleeping. That's fine. I'm very confident in a big shocking take, Rod. Stop the presses. I'm very confident in a big week from Verstappen, but It sounds silly to say it out loud, but they're pricing it like maybe it won't happen.
Cody, you can't like the favorite. You can't. Because if you say that Max Verstappen is going to win, then you look dumb. Because everybody knows Max Verstappen is going to win. Duh.
That's what makes this bet duh. Like, how is it this low? I don't get it. I think he's like minus what? 600, minus 700 to win this race. All he has to do is do that and then throw in be the fastest qualifier, which he does all the time anyways. I just don't see how this doesn't happen at minus 138. So I'm planning to load a big time on this one, Rod. Also going to take Red Bull double podium. It's minus 188. So again, you're getting into the territory of we're getting a little close here. But I think if this is ever minus 200 or less, you just have to take it. Look, Red Bull has proven they're the best, Rod. And every, you know, Australia was the one outlier. Otherwise, we're 3-for-3. Red Bull's been double podium every time. Even if Carlos Sainz sleeps up there and finishes second, or Charles Leclerc, I mean, do we think anybody else can compete with them? Not really. Again, Australia just kind of the outlier. I know Checo obviously, Max is going to win the race, right? If that doesn't happen, then we'll be happy because we got a good race. So I think you just bet on it. If it doesn't happen, fine. We ended up with an exciting race anyways. But Checo obviously is the weaker link in this, but look how good he's been this season. I think you hit this last race in Japan. It was like minus 125.
Yep.
And we said when we recapped it last week, if you get a chance to bet it again at a decent price, honestly, minus 188 is a decent price for this type of bet. So I think you take it. And then my long shot sprinkle of the week, Rod, Fernando Alonso, fastest lap, 66-1. Max probably will just end up taking this too. But he doesn't always get the fastest lap. As we know, it bounces around. Alonso's not necessarily been one of the faster cars this year, but you're going to a circuit that we haven't been to in a few years. He does have that muscle memory of being here plenty of times prior to that. So we're going to toss that out there. He's coming off the contract news, right? Reinvigorated. Hey, you're going to be here the next couple of years. Let's go make the most of this. Let's lay down a fast lap. And again, I think it's just always worth sprinkling some sort of long shot. Joguan Yurod, 200-1. You know what? Fuck it. We're adding it.
Sexy.
Just, it's, look, throw $5. Like, it doesn't have to be much. Throw $5 on it for, just for the sweat. Like, what if he gets in a situation where it's like, hey, not having a great day. Fuck it. Let's go get the fastest lap. Why not at 200-1? It's not like he hasn't done it before. He had a fast lap last season. If the circum, I know he's not in the fastest car. We get it, right? That's why it's 200-1. But at 200-1 for the story, do it. You got to have some long shots on this. If it lands on, you know, if it lands on Max, it lands on Max. If it lands on one of the Ferraris, it lands on them. The shorter odds. Even the Ferraris, though, I mean, Max for the fastest lap is minus 188 again. And yet him to win and sit on the pole is minus 138. How does it make it make sense, Rod? It doesn't. But, you know, I just, you got to have some long shots for these. So throw a few bucks on it, have fun. Maybe you get a great story. And anytime you cash a 200-1, it's a great story. So yeah, let's fucking go. Give me Alonso fastest lap, 66-1. Joguan Yu fastest lap, 200-1.
Absolutely love it. All right. Well, then, again, if we already know. And
real quick, too, Artur with a good point. Checo's understanding the car much better than last year, and he really wants to keep his spot. I think that, like, that is the thing you should highlight the most as far as the Red Bull double podium is Checo doesn't have that ride next year. And if there's one ride you want in F1 right now, other than being Max Verstappen himself, it's to be Matt. I would love to go play second fiddle to Max Verstappen, Rod, because it's a hell of a good fiddle. Like, he is still fighting for his job, and it's not a secure thing by any means. You know, you look at the way guys like Carlos Sainz are performing. He's definitely feeling the pressure. So show up and perform, and Checo's been doing that. And he did it last season, too. I mean, he had an impressive season, but he's been doing it this year, too. So I think that goes even more towards furthering the point of just lay the juice on the double podium because, man, these Red Bulls are in a league of their own, truly.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to be that way. I think Perez is going to continue to shine because he is that kind of a driver, and that equipment is very complimentary of his driving style. He just needed to, like Arturo said, just understand what he had because he's got the same equipment as Max. So he can drive just almost as good as Max, but not quite. Nobody can. But yeah, give it to Checo for sure, which is why I say we're going to go ahead and take the number of leaders in this race. We're going to take the number at 2. Right now, and that's at plus 175. I say 2 because we have seen that Max has not necessarily pulled completely away from everybody over the last few races, and there have been opportunities for other guys to lead a lap, just one, and twice this season we have had exactly 2 leaders. Now, one of those was when Max led the first lap and then ended up not finishing the race in Australia, but again, that was still a 2-leader race right there. And then the second one was the week before that, where there was exactly 2 leaders in the race. Last week in Japan, there was 3 leaders. Carlos Sainz kind of jumped in there as well with Charles Leclerc. But that was kind of a double pit strategy that made that. There really only should have been, I think, 2 leaders in that race. So in 3 out of the 4 races, we should have had exactly 2 leaders in this race. It hasn't been now where everybody's running away with it. I mean, obviously, in the first race of the season, we saw Max take it from the pole in Bahrain and just run away with it. But over the last few weeks, we haven't seen that. Again, in Saudi Arabia, Max led 45 laps, and it was Lando Norris that led the other 5 laps in that one. In Australia, I talked about it. Carlos Sainz obviously leading 57 of those laps, but people forget that Max Verstappen led lap 1 before he ended up going out in lap 3. So again, that was 2 leaders in that one, even with Max Verstappen bowing out of that race. So like I said, I think this is one where early in the race, early enough, because we don't know what the pit strategies are going to be for this one. We don't know the stops, but it tends to be that Max is not jumping out to that 22-second lead early in the race. It tends to happen later as all the pit stops are done and everybody's pretty much off the track or it's on the track for the rest of the race to where Max will open up that lead. But early in the race, it doesn't always work that way. And so I think he's going to have the opportunity to pit. Somebody's going to be out there at least lead 1 lap until Max catches back up with them. And then it's Max from there. So, yeah, give me the plus 175 for the number of lap leaders to be 2.
Yeah, no argument from me here. I think you're going to get some cycling and stuff in there, and we'll get a second one. The only hope is it doesn't go to a third one, obviously. But I think Max is going to sit on the pole rod, and I think he's going to win the race. So, you know, if it's one pit cycle where someone else jumps him for half a second before he gets back up there, then maybe you'll have a chance to cash this. But, man, I'm really just seeing a Max dominating weekend again. Go out on a limb here, but the odds baffle me. So that's I absolutely love this card this week. I think there's a lot of good ways to get in and catch the books in a state of uncertainty. Not that they don't know things, because we know that the books are smart and they do things for a reason, but they're uncertain. I'm not uncertain. I'm very certain of what I've seen over the last year and a half here. So I think you got to take advantage while you can.
Indeed. Well, let's go over those bets for this Chinese Grand Prix so you can get your card filled out. Cody started you out with the fastest in P1 to be Max Verstappen at minus 125 over on Bet365. And then said Charles Leclerc would be the fastest car in Q2 at plus 400 over on Bet365 as well. I said that we could go ahead and take Daniel Ricciardo as the sprint winner without the big five at plus 350. Hold your nose, but it could work out for us. Cody said that the winning margin for this race would be over 10 seconds at minus 163. I said that Lewis Hamilton would be a top six car at minus 125. You can get this number over at BetMGM. That's the best one for this number. And then Cody gave you Zhou Guanyu to finish in the points at 7-1. I said toss in his teammate, Valtteri Bottas, at plus 600. And then, if you really want to feel froggy, 40-1 for a Sauber double points finish. And then Cody gave you fastest qualifier and win the race, Max Verstappen at minus 138 on Bet365. I'm glad you found that number, because I was looking and there was some like minus 160s, minus 180s. Made me want to puke. So, and then take the Red Bull double podium at minus 188. Alonso to have the fastest lap at 66-1. And Zhou Guanyu at 200-1 to have the fastest lap. And then I said that the number of race leaders in this race would be 2 at plus 175. That will do it for the breakdown of this Chinese Grand Prix on our betting card. Cannot wait for this weekend to start, because I miss myself some F1 cars on the track.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun, Rod. I'm pumped for it. And again, something different for us, and they haven't been there in a long time. So, yeah, it'll be great to see them back in China this week.
It will indeed. All right, Cody. Well, then we'll tell everybody to go away. No, I'm just kidding. We just love you. We'll tell you. You can go now. And we release you to go fill out your cards. And in the meantime, where can everybody continue the conversations with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me over on the X at Husker_Zeeb. You can find all my stuff there. NFL mock draft, two-round mock draft came out today. So you can check that out for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Had a lot of fun putting that together. IndyCar's back this week, Rod. Will we get odds? Will we not get odds? That's the big question, of course. But I do plan Friday. You're going to be gone, but myself and F1 Capper from the F1 Money Gang, going to have him on, and we're going to talk some IndyCar, hopefully with odds. If not, we're going to talk about the race anyways, break it down, and maybe kind of make up our own shit to bet on if we have to. So that'll be a lot of fun. So make sure you check back in with that later as well. And then, yeah, go subscribe on YouTube. NASCAR Gambling Podcast. We do these F1 shows live over there. So like Arturo, like some of these other guys, you can join us live in the comments. We appreciate it. And yeah, let's go win some money in China this week.
Let's go win some money in China. Follow me on X at RJ Villagomez. Link in the bio, everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's Sportsbook Review, whether it's In Between Media. Yeah, I'll be gone this end of this week, but we'll be back next week with more of the F1 Gambling Podcast. So until then, everyone, let's go racing and let it ride.